Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 22nd of August, recording at 9:53 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. First, a quick look at the highlights here today, such as they are. In Asia, well, stock markets were mostly a little bit to the minus side, not that much. Hong Kong Hang Seng was up a little bit. I see. European stock markets were higher with the exception of DAX, which closed down a tiny fraction. Had some gains, a number of gains of over 1% in Europe today. And Wall Street had been firmer than it closed when Europe closed. The Americas, though, ended with mostly small gains. Brazil was really basically break even. But the U.S. gave up gains that must have been near 1% at one stage, approximately around 1%, to close with very, very marginal gains on the day. And in long-day government bond prices eased a bit today. The dollar is a tiny bit firmer overall. Precious metals had another rollicking good day here. Gold, as I speak, we're still getting these this after-hours trading, but gold is at $1,897. That's up nearly $45. That's just a dollar off the high of the day. And platinum's up another 32, 1907. Palladium's finally joining the party here, up nearly 15 to 763.5. Silver had another good day in here, big day on Friday. Not a bad day here today, 43.87 as I speak. Industrial metals were mostly lower. I think tin was an exception with quite a modest gain. And crude oil. Well, the WTI is up 186 to 84.12. Now let me just see what happened on the Brent. It was down early in the day. Yeah, but it paired most of that back. It closed down just 19 cents at 108.43. That's disappointing if you're looking for some lower commodity prices, because it had been at it had been as low as 105.15. And agricultural commodities mostly a little bit easier, except for the grains and beans. They put on more gains here, I think, right across the boards. So that's rough rice, soybeans, corn, and wheat all higher in here today. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock market action, it's not so good, as you will have noticed. But let me just describe the very short-term technical activity. We had some lows last week, early last week. Markets bounced, then came back, and most of them are finding support above or near the region of those lows. And let me just make sure that I'm getting those dates. Time gets concertinaed in my mind. It wasn't last week, actually. It was the week before. I think it was Thursday of the week before last, or to be more precisely, it was on the 9th of August. There we had lows for the S&P and a number of other stock market indices. They then churned for a couple of days and then had a bit of a rally. before falling quite sharply last week. But those declines have steadied above the actual lows. For the S&P, the low of the 9th of August was at 1100. Now, the big question mark, of course, is are these patterns distributions beneath the top area? First steps beneath the top, in other words. Or was the downward move that we saw in late July, and particularly in the first 2 weeks of August, was that sufficiently climactic that a support building phase has now emerged? Well, if the latter is right, we would have to see the stock market indices rally back up and take out last week's technical rally highs. And that's possible, and if that happens, I'll be favorably impressed, and more importantly, so will a lot of other people. However, it's not unusual to get a sharp rally within a bear market phase, such as we saw the week before last. And the last really important thing the market did was break to the downside, completing those type three tops that we've been talking about and illustrating. So that's still a negative picture overall. You could sum it up by saying it's all for the bulls to prove. If the bulls can push stock markets above last week's highs, would be a good sign. It would indicate that a low of possibly more than short-term significance had been reached. But I'd be a little wary on that. Now, in my Friday audio, I mentioned concern that I couldn't see the catalyst for a recovery. Catalysts, though, can be in the eye of the beholder. Hopefully not this holder, but we can, see some favorable signs in here. First, interest rates staying near zero levels, although that's an indictment of the economic climate, obviously. It is a favorable monetary background for stock markets. Another one, I was pleasantly surprised to see the Libyan rebels move into Tripoli so easily. And hopefully that's a sign that we really are moving quickly to regime change, although then everybody will be asking if Libya will actually be more stable or less stable as a result of all that, and it'll certainly take a while before we have definitive answers on that, and some instability is virtually a given. But we'll see. We'll see. If any kind of mood of national unity develops, well, that would be wonderful. We shouldn't have, or I don't have great expectations on that score, although I certainly hope it happens. It would be good for the Libyan people, obviously, and it would be good. What's good for them is going to be good for the rest of us as well, particularly if they can step up the oil production, which I think is down to a real trickle of I think I saw a figure today saying 50,000 barrels a day at best. They will have every incentive to push up the oil production, and Western teams, once there's a little bit of stability, will be quick to move back in there and to actually help them do that. And that would be significant because we're talking about well, the previous oil production before the uprising consisted of about 1.5 million barrels of oil a day, and Libya would be capable of producing far more of that. It might take a couple of years before they could do that, and they produce some of the best light sweet crude in the business. So that would help to ease some of those energy costs. But I think initially when Brent came down to 105 and a bit this morning, that reflected a view that, well, hey, this is good. We'll get more Brent flowing out of I beg your pardon. We'll get more light sweet crude coming out of Libya. But then, as the market firmed again, people realized quite rightly that nothing was going to happen on the oil production in the very short term, and possibly not in the medium term. I've said previously that I thought it would take a year or two to get it fully up to production, and I hope that's a conservative estimate. So, in terms of stock markets, I'm not buying yet. I'm content to watch this. Valuations have certainly improved, which one would expect in conditions like this, although I'm more impressed by an improvement in yield valuations than I am by price earnings multiples, because I do think that the earnings estimates are a bit too high. But let's not get too gloomy, David, here, and I'm not, because although there are appalling problems that the Eurozone actually faces and that the U.S. economy actually faces, as we've known for a long time now, this debt deleveraging process, it takes years and years to sort that out. But as I quoted Russell Napier, saying last year of CLSA fame, and when he paraphrased Clinton and said, "It's not about the economy, stupid." And that's quite right. We buy corporations, and those multinational corporations that are leveraged to the Asian-led growth economy, well, they're doing well. And I think they're going to continue to do well. And those are the shares that Fuller Money likes. And domestic equities in the West, I would be very cautious about those, regardless of the yield or multiple. Okay, what about the bonds? Well, it does raise an eyebrow, at least my eyebrow, when I see UK gilt yields at their lowest levels in 90 years, I read, and below 2% on the 10-year. And yet you have a rate of inflation that's stuck at 5%, and Mervyn King of the Bank of England and a number of other people keep saying, well, inflation rate's going to go down, but they've been saying that for a couple of years overall. And given the monetary printing that's taking place, I'm not a believer. I'll put it that way. It's a stagflation situation, and I actually think stagflation is the best that we get out of the U.S. Anytime soon. And if you're not all familiar with that term, by that of course I mean that you get very weak growth and some inflation. And that would be far preferable for the United States than any sort of slide into across the boards deflation. And given that Mr. Bernanke is determined to go out on his sword, on his shield rather, or fling himself on his sword rather than see the U.S. economy slip into deflation, if anybody can influence that outcome, it's the chairman of the Fed, who controls the printing presses, as you well know. Okay, what about these precious metals? Speculative in here because gold is somewhat overheated, as I've been pointing out, but it certainly has momentum. And momentum plays can be extremely powerful. This precious metal sector is obviously catching the imagination of an increasing number of investors, giving it its performance. And I don't see any sign that it's over. What's interesting is that a little bit of stock market stability, and we see some of the laggard precious metals like platinum. Platinum's been on a bit of a tear here over the last fortnight, and palladium's now moving up. Silver has a fair amount of technical underpinnings, and we are moving into that favorable seasonal period. We're very close to that favorable seasonal period for precious metals. So I wouldn't want to call an end to this rally here, and I'm not. I'll back the momentum, and it would take a very clear downward dynamic now on gold bullion to check this move in the short term. Obviously, that's going to happen. Trees don't grow to the sky, and all that nonsense. But at what point? And I think it will be normal to see some pullbacks, some small pullbacks and consolidations. And I think probably the chances of a mean reversion anytime soon on gold, I don't want to jinx myself, but I wouldn't bet on that happening in the near term. Over the medium term, sure, but the medium term can be a matter of months. And currencies. I've got a bit of stability in here overall. Some of the Asian currencies that had been becoming painfully strong for those countries have weakened. The Indian rupee is among those. And the US dollar, which had been painfully weak, has seen a bit of a rebound. And that's all to the good. But net it all out, nervous times here, with precious metals still in form. The grain and bean complex, which Owen and I have been saying for quite a long time, or pointing out the obvious, really, that they're well underpinned fundamentally. Low global reserves of these staple foods, strong demand, and most important of all, a lot of difficult crop conditions. And that's kept the commodity price inflation percolating along. So that's not an ideal environment to have a really. When I fretted in last Friday's audio about a lack of catalysts here to get these markets going, the main one that concerns me is the fact that commodity prices overall are still too strong, and therefore China and India are reluctant to chop their interest rates. And when might they be more willing to chop their interest rates? Well, if they get frightened. And what would frighten them? Well, another big stock market sell-off. That's a possibility. Which we can't rule out, but it's a possibility. I mention it as that, not as a forecast. I bought a little bit of silver today. I mentioned on Friday that I might possibly do that, despite the fact that I'll take a bit of a holiday next week. And I regard it as highly speculative at this stage, but I'm willing to speculate in precious metals more often than not. And on that note, all the best to all of you.